A star rises in the east. A star rises in the east, and peacefully, tranquilly, it shines over a little town called Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, we sing, how still we see thee lie. A star rises in the east. A star rises in the east, and emphatically, triumphantly, like the blast from a herald's trumpet, it proclaims to all the nations of the earth, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. A star rises to the east, and travelers from a distant land are drawn to the mystery of its light. Their hearts are drawn to its beauty and its wonder. Its deep beauty and wonder shining brightly in the heavens, heralding the dawn of something new, heralding the dawn of a new era, a new beginning, a new way of being and of knowing and of living and of loving for once and for all time. A star rises in the east, and with fire burning in their souls, these wise men, these three kings, set out from their homes and they follow that beautiful star. They follow that beautiful star out across the desert, out across the windswept desert, through the wilderness, over the raging waters of the rivers, along beautiful sandy beaches, and finally through the density and darkness of the great cities of the ancient world, until finally they reach that little town of Bethlehem. Finally they reach that little town, dwelling in its deep and dreamless sleep. They enter its gates. The three wise men enter its gates, and they make their way past the marketplace, past the hustle and bustle. They make their way past the inn, past the innkeeper's inn. And there in the darkness of a back alleyway, there behind the inn, in a place that was filled with stench and filth and poverty and sin, there behind the inn, in a place that the rest of this world would just as soon as walked past and ignored, there in that dark, forgotten place, they find him. They find the Holy One, the incarnate Word, the Logos, the King of Kings. They find him not in a palace sitting on a throne, but wrapped in swaddling clothes and making a stinky manger his home. And without hesitation, these three kings whose education in the ancient world would have been unparalleled amongst their contemporaries, without hesitation, these three kings fall down before this stinky manger. They fall down on their knees and they praise him and they worship him. And they open up their treasure chests, they open up their most precious possessions, and they give him gifts befitting a king, gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Sing of God made manifest in a child robust and blessed. Every year at Epiphany, we as the Christian church are invited to marvel at the wonderful mystery and paradox that is our God. A God who creates the constellations, a God who creates the heavens and the earth, who sets the stars in motion, a God who gives us gravity and string theory and big bangs and all the suns in the sky, a God who sets this world together with all of its complexity and intricacy, but a God who also reveals himself to us in simplicity and vulnerability and humility and humanity. A God who not only sets the stars in motion in the sky, but who reveals himself in the body of an impoverished peasant boy. An impoverished peasant boy born to an unwed mother in a long-forgotten province of a long-disappeared empire. A God who is alive and breathing and has a name, and yet who is utterly transcendent. Whose ability to reach out and touch us and connect with us and be with us, to be Emmanuel, God with us, knows no limit, not even death. I think we can sometimes forget as the church how scandalous this notion of who God is that we cling to. How scandalous and radical and revolutionary is this notion that our God is not just for some of us, that our God isn't just for some people, but for all of us. That kind of thinking was utterly foreign in the ancient world. It was entirely foreign to the predominantly Jewish community that the writer we know as St. Matthew was trying to lead and was writing to with the words we hear in today's gospel. God wasn't universal in St. Matthew's world. God was tribal. The Romans had their gods, and the Greeks had their gods, the Babylonians and the Egyptians had their gods, and yes, as Jillian and I saw this week in Mexico, the Mayans and the Aztecs certainly had their gods too, complete with beautiful temples and pyramids and their own proud religious rituals. God was not in everything or in everyone or accessible to all of us in the world of St. Matthew. God did not belong to all of us. God was circumscribed. God was finite. God was limited. And yet in this one little baby, lying in a stinky manger, God destroys all of that. God destroys all of those divisions, all of those notions that somehow God might belong just to you or just to me, or only in your home or only in my home. As a follower of St. Paul writes to us today from that great cosmopolitan and multicultural port city of Ephesus, in former generations, he writes, this mystery was not known to humankind. That is that the Gentiles, all of us, have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Just like the wise ones who set out from the east, wise ones who followed that beautiful and mysterious star, wise ones who are not members of the house of Israel, who were not shoots of the branch of Jesse. Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar, those don't sound like Jewish names, do they? It's because they're not. They were foreigners, these kings. They were foreigners who the peoples of this world, the rich and the powerful of this world, would have quite easily labeled as other, who would have quite easily built walls to try and pen them in and keep them out. Keep them out because they're different. Keep them out because they're not like us. Keep them out because they're a risk. And yet we Gentiles, like those foreign kings, we are welcome at that manger, and our identity is sealed at that manger. Indeed, we are guided to that manger by that beautiful and mysterious light of Christ, that one true light from the star that leads us to commune with our God, each of us as human beings, in all of our complexity, all of our intricacy, all of our diversity. It is no coincidence that in this season we recall the mystery of the wondrous epiphany, the wondrous revelation of God to people who were other, to people who were different. We are also called to remember the baptism of our Lord, that other feast of the church that we are going to celebrate next week as we renew our baptismal vows. Today and always, we remember that in baptism, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are all one. We are all bound together, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, male and female, rural and urban. Yes, all of us are bound together by that beautiful and mysterious star, that one true light burning in each of our hearts. That beautiful, beautiful light that we give to each and every baptismal candidate. When they're baptized, we light a candle off of that big candle at the back and we hand it to them. And we say, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. We give them that one piece of light, their one true light. We give them that light and it shines, and the darkness comprehended it not. Today we celebrate that light. We celebrate Epiphany, and we marvel at the mystery and the wonder of our God, who is in everyone and everywhere and who loves everyone. A God who gives light to the stars and brings light to our homes, and who is alive and at work in this world. A God who has a name and a God who has a heartbeat. A God whose tiny, infant human heartbeat is all light and all love and a blessing to us all. And so today we chalk the doors. We chalk the doors of this place and of our homes, and we remind ourselves that God is abiding in this place. God loves this place. God blesses this place. And it is God's will that everyone, not just some, but everyone, is always welcome in this place. It's God's will that not only everyone be welcome in this place, but that each of us, as image bearers of God, relate to each other as family. Everyone is always welcome, and all of us are family. That is the very heartbeat of our living and loving God. Amen.